Welcome to the 12 cast, the official podcast of the 12 point. To learn more, visit at the 12 point on Instagram. And now, let the show begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Deucecast, presented by The Deuce Point. My name is Rain, a team member at TDP, and I'm so excited to welcome you back to the third episode of Is It a Hot Take?, where we look at some of the upcoming songs for Eurovision 2024. So today we have the opportunity to listen to four amazing songs. Well, we're going to get into that today. And those songs are going to be Ukraine, Teresa Maria from the artist Aliona Aliona and Jerry Hill. Then we also have Latvia with Dons, who is singing Hollow. We have Finland, who has sent Windows 95 Man with the song No Rules. And lastly, we have Italy with Angelina Mango with the song La Noia. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. So that was a sample from the entry for Ukraine for 2024 Eurovision, which is Teresa Maria, which was sent by the artist Aliona Aliona and Jerry Hill. Ukraine has once again blown away the competition. Ukraine is definitely not going to be non-qualifying this year and is going to be continuing their qualification streak, being the only country in Eurovision to have qualified for every single semifinal from the introduction in 2004, I believe, all the way up until 2024. Fingers crossed, but I do believe that this is definitely going to be a song that is going to be a for sure qualifier for the semifinal. I believe it is drawn into semi-final one, and in semi-final one, it will be performing in the, I believe it is the first half. So again, not a great draw, but again, I think that this song definitely has a lot of televote potential, and I'm going to get into that in a few moments, but let's first talk about the song specifically. So the song Teresa Maria, it's a song that, in the words of the artists themselves at Vidbir, which is the Ukrainian national selection, they talked about the power of women, religion, almost, but the power of like the power of women to begin with. That's like the original idea, in their words. So it is a very powerful song. I know there was some controversy with the inclusion of religious lyrics, which are generally not very common in Eurovision. However, to point out, they did have two songs called Amen in 2020. So that there is clearly not a limitation of like an exclusion of religious music from Eurovision. I don't think it should be something that should ever be banned from Eurovision, because again, we're trying to promote the openness of music as well. So by, I probably don't know too much about this, but by banning something that talks about religious music, as long as that's something that still promotes something on the lines of equality and connects to a broader meaning, it should be fine. And I think that Teresa Maria does do this. I know that there is, I don't fully agree with using Teresa in the song. I know some people have brought this up in discussion boards about using Teresa, in reference to Mother Teresa. Because I'm solely discussing the song, I'm not going to talk about it here, but that's for your own research. For now, I just want to talk about the song itself. And I think that without like looking too much into the meaning of the song is really beautifully put together. Like there's this powerful part in the introduction that's like zero, 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 like that was like the first like it like commands you into the stage almost. Like Jerry Hill is the person singing the first part, so like saying zero, 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 lo, propia so bien, and then sorry, I cannot speak Ukrainian very well, so ignore my pronunciation attempts. But that first line, a stream, a stream making its way, then show by show by nebula, no matter what, sweet na ye ye. Okay, I'm gonna stop with the pronunciation attempts. Very sorry if that did not sound at all like what it was supposed to sound like. But in English, it does translate to a stream is making it sway, no matter what, the world is on her shoulder. So really trying to initially show the power of women as introduced in the song. Yeah, it's really trying to captivate you with those opening words. No matter if you know Ukrainian or if you don't know Ukrainian, I think that regardless, this powerful message is going to speak to you, regardless of whether or not you understand the language or not. I think that it captivates you regardless. There's like there's a line that it later says, oh, come on, little girl, light up. Oh, I think that connects to that overall theme as well. And then the lyrics have a lot of nuance to them, but they're also very powerful and very strong at the same time. You can then there's of course the chorus. Again, probably not going to try to pronounce it, but there is a line in English with us, and then all the divas were born as human beings, which I think is a very interesting, very interesting line as well. And then so that's the main part sung by Jerry Hill specifically, is that introduction, and then into the chorus, and then after that we get the very very great rap performance by Aliona Aliona. Who I actually started listening to way before premiering in Vilbir. I actually really love her songs. So I was so happy to see that she was making an appearance in Vilbir. So I think that the inclusion of rap is really great. We did see in 2022, rap was included in Kalush Orchestra's performance Stefania. And that was also really amazing. I think it worked. Ukrainian rap just has so much power to it, almost. Obviously. It has so much, it carries so much weight to it. And I think that, like, when it's done properly, it can be so powerful. And I think that Aliona Aliona doing that so well. There's like an opening line that says, even from a young age, we were looking for a way, but life is a loop as if for those who fall, a little girl is still carrying on her shoulders, painfully a bucket, and she knows that it's a flaw. Like these lyrics, these rap lyrics are so like perfectly put together almost. And I'm not even getting into the performance so far, because like you just have to start talking about like the lyrics firstly, because like they're so well put together. And I do hear complaints that like the chorus does sound a bit repetitive. However, I do agree that they do repeat the lines over and over again, but again, we're talking about a very powerful duo right here in Eurovision this year. And they are trying to captivate you with that line. So I think there's a difference between saying, oh, something sounds repetitive, and it's like someone saying like da 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 da, and then it's like da 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 da, and like it's like repeating the same like nonsensical phrase over and over again. But it's different when you have a powerful line and you're repeating that over and over again. There's a difference between repetitive boring and repetitive captivating. Repetitive captivating can be can be using repetition in order to captivate the viewer, and that's something that that this duo is doing this year with this song. And I think there's nothing wrong with being repetitive if it's going to be phased out like that. And yeah, overall, so that's kind of like my thoughts on the lyrics. And yeah, that took a lot of analysis of the lyrics. Yeah, and now let's kind of talk about the recording. Of course, both Jerry and Aliona's voices are amazing recorded live, and that perfectly translated on stage into Vidbir, which took place on the 3rd of February. But fun fact, well, not so fun fact, there was an error with the voting system, so the results actually had to be delayed until the next day, making it the longest national final. Yeah, it was almost, it was pretty much almost 24 hours. Yeah, so it finished around like 2 p.m. in my time, which is like around like sometime around, I'm not too good with time zones, but it was probably pretty late in Ukraine. Then they waited the entire next day, and then they revealed the results finally on the next day in the live show. So, so there were a lot of great songs in this national selection. Before I actually talk about Teresa Maria, there was a lot of great songs. Some of my favorites were Palala. I really liked that song. I also really liked Tsunamiya, Dreamer, and Place I Call Home. They were all really great songs. In terms of like doing well with the jury and the public, in fact, so basically, unlike most Eurovision finals, Vidbir scores from 1 to 11, including 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I just almost forgot to count there. So unlike Eurovision, which only includes 8, 10, and 12 points, it's a little bit different in Vidbir. So in terms of the jury voting, surprisingly, Teresa Maria, which was also a jury favorite, did not win the jury vote. That actually went to Ziffelblatt with Place I Call Home, which I was not mad about at all. The song was really great. But yeah, so they got the 11 points, and then Aliona, Leona, and Jerry Hale got 10 points, followed by Melovin, Dreamer, then Ingrid Keeper, Jagody, Tsunamiya, Yaktak, La La La, Anka, Palala, Drevo, Endless Chain, then Skylar, Time is Running Out, Nazva, Slavic English, and Nahaba, Glass. So that was the jury. And then for the public started off with 1 point to Nazva, 2 points to Ingrid, 3 points to Drevo, 4 points to Anka, 5 points to Nahaba, 6 points to Skylar, 7 points to Jagody, 8 points to Ziffelblatt, 9 points to Melovin, and then we were left with two songs. We were left with Yaktak, La La La, and Aliona, Aliona, and Jerry Hale with Teresa Maria. So those were the two songs left. Interestingly enough, though, it was pretty much already determined that Aliona and Jerry won Vidbir even before Yaktak's televote was revealed, only because Yaktak only got 6 points from the jury, which meant that even with 11 points, the maximum score would have been 17. And by that point, it was already been established that Ziffelblatt was at 19 and Melovin was at 18. So realistically, Yaktak would have only been able to get 17, which would still have left him in fourth place. So it's already pretty much assumed that Aliona and Jerry won all of Vidbir, because regardless of getting 10 points or 11 points, they both would have won regardless, by 1 or 2 points respectively. But what was interesting to look at here was the public votes, and there was a massive difference in public voting from the first and second, so much so that Aliona, Aliona, and Jerry Hale walked away with 723,297 votes. That's almost more than all of my city combined. And I live in one of the biggest cities in my country, so that's a lot of votes. That's 7 times more than Yaktak, who only got around 107,000, and everyone else fell between 100,000, and I believe the lowest was 14,000 for Nazva. So yeah, there was a clear demand for Aliona and Jerry. by 7 times the amount. So it was evident that the Ukrainian public wanted Aliona and Jerry, and it was clear why. Amazing performance live, amazing song live, definitely has a massive jury and televote potential, and this could help Ukraine possibly be a winner for this year. So I have absolutely no qualms about why people chose to select this song for their public winner. This was my winner. This is a lot of people's winners. And I think this was the clear favorite. And that's all really like beautiful, like song put together on stage as well. It could be fixed a little bit. It could be tinkered with a little bit, of course. But we know that Ukraine has a great staging potential as well. We've seen that with Dvorchi. We've seen that with Kalish. We've seen that with Goe. We've seen that with everyone that Ukraine works with always ends up having a really great result. So I have full trust in the fact that Ukraine will do good again this year. So in my prediction, I think because it's going to be a televote-only semifinal, I think I'm predicting top three for sure in the semifinal, and then top five in the actual grand final. Yeah, I think that this song is one of the strong contenders. Currently, it's sitting at 20% odds to win the entire contest already, and we haven't even revealed most of the songs. So yeah, this seems to be a clear fan up within not just Ukraine, but all of Europe and potentially the entire world. So we could potentially be seeing Ukraine get its fourth win again in 2024. So yeah, amazing job to Aliona and Jerry Hale with Teresa Maria. And now it is time to move on to our second song, which is from Latvia with the artist Dons and the song Hollow. So that was a snippet from Latvia's song for Eurovision 2024, which comes from the artist Dons with the song Hollow. And despite what people are saying so far, I absolutely love this song. Again, another one of my winners for the national finals. And it was a very close race for me between two songs in Supernova this year, which was the Latvian selection for Eurovision. And that was between Dons Hollow and Vestulis Kur. Which was, I believe, translates to where in English. We'll get into talking about both of those songs pretty quickly. But I think Supernova this year was actually a bit underrated in terms of national finals. I think we don't give a lot of the Baltics a lot of credit. Their national finals can actually be really good. We've seen that with Estilal. We've seen that with Lithuania's national selection, which I don't know how to pronounce. But both of all three of them can have massive potential. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit more this year. So the winner was Dons with the song Hollow, and honestly, this song is so powerful. One of the best songs so far. It's one of my absolute favorites. In Latvian, the song is Lostu Skepu Lostu Skepu Karalvost. I'm so sorry to anyone who speaks Latvian who had to just endure that right now. There is a Latvian version to the song as well, and it is reported that Dons probably will be using Latvian at the end of the song. Again, I'm recording this right after the end of Supernova, so we don't have too much information we don't even have the results so far. So for those who are listening and have the results, let me know if there's any big upsets, because I'm not presuming any, but I do know that Kur came in second and the Cat Song came in third. So I don't assume any upsets, and those were the top three favorites of Supernova. So I presume that was pretty typical results for the final. But honestly, there is like so much to talk about with the lyricism of the song. Again, am I going to end up doing another lyrical analysis of Eurovision song? Yes, I am. Because Hollow, just like Teresa Maria, has so much lyrical value. And I understand that this year the Eurovision Song Contest is going to have televote-only semis. I'm still protesting again that because I want juries back in the semifinals. I think it's important to have that good balance. But honestly, I think this song does have massive televote potential as well. I think it's definitely going to lean towards something like Remo Foro with Water, with Water Gun last year. It wasn't a song that was predicted to do typically well with the televote and didn't end up doing that well in the final, but did end up doing reasonably well in the televote-only semifinals. I think appealing to that like kind of ideal battle that most people are looking for in a Eurovision semifinal, and I think that Hollow is kind of going to follow in those footsteps again. So Dance is actually a really popular singer in Latvia, and prior to the final of Supernova, held odds at over 70% chance to win, and public polling over 60% on some polls. So clear favorite for Latvia was Dons. Kur was also amazing, a beautiful Latvian ballad that kind of gave that flashback to Mia Nikolai and Dion Cooper, Burning Daylight from last year from the Netherlands. But honestly, this was way more well done. This was a beautiful Latvian song. And honestly, I hope that Vestilis comes back in the future because they definitely deserve to also represent Latvia in the future. Such a beautiful song as well. And I hope that people also stream and look at that song a little bit more in the future. It's a beautiful song. Yeah. In terms of Hollow, like the lyrics are so powerful, just reading them now, like there's in the chorus, it says, it's killing me slow, trying to make me just another believer, everyone just pretending they're preachers, I'd rather let them dig my grave shallow instead of selling it to something so hollow. Like when interviewed about this, Dons was talking about kind of how it's about like finding like your own voice almost in the noise or in the landscape of so many voices. Like you need to find your own voice in amidst the crowd, kind of stepping away from that like that group and finding your own spotlight almost. But I think like there's so many like powerful lyrics even within that message as well. Like the line, "You'll see me crying rivers I might drown." To tell you all the sins I can't escape, like I'm drifting in and out of who I am. Like honestly, like this lyricism for like Don's like song is so powerful that like honestly it brought me to like chills every single time I listen to it. Definitely, like I'm not gonna say it's a step up from last year because Aya was also such a beautiful song, and it definitely got robbed in that semifinal, losing out by, I believe, just 3 points for making it to the final, and definitely another example of why we can't have televote-only semis. Just doesn't work, everyone. But I think Latvia is continually getting robbed. They have some amazing talent that, and they have, like, I think Latvia, they tend to stick to that, like that comforting or that, like, soft song, like, I don't think they've had like I think with the exception of like the past few years, a lot of their songs have been like nice and like quiet and calming, like That Night or Aya or even Hollow is a little bit more like that soft, comforting more than like a more like upbeat, powerful, like in your face kind of song. This is kind of like more subtle, more like approachable, more nuanced. And it's kind of going to follow you throughout the stage and you're going to be able to listen to it, but it's not going to come right back at you. Like it's going to like be patient as you kind of discover its own meaning through your own mind. And that's kind of what Dons is looking for you to experience, your own voice through the song. So, I think the song is just beautifully written, honestly. I know it was originally based on a Latvian version, and it was translated into English. But I think the English version is just as beautiful as the Latvian version as well. Honestly, like, both, like, would be amazing. It'd be awesome if Dons would incorporate some Latvian into Hollow, but honestly, the English version is beautiful as well. I do love to see some linguistic diversity in Eurovision, of course, and we're already seeing a plethora of different languages we're seeing, so far we already have Ukrainian, we have French, we have, so we have Ukrainian, we have French, we have Albanian, we have Norwegian again, we have Spanish, we're going to have Italian. There's going to be lots of linguistic diversity at Eurovision, but I think the more the merrier. So I think it'd be cool if Dons is able to incorporate more of Latvian into his song. Again, maybe bring back some elements of the Latvian version to kind of reintroduce to that song again. In terms of the staging, I do think the staging is a little bit weak, but again, that is because it is Supernova. Supernova doesn't really have the best staging quality out of all the national finals. Again, it's something that's kind of been progressing over and over again, but I think that Supernova's quality is going to definitely increase over the next few years, but I think the staging is a little bit more quiet. But again, that muted staging is kind of going to work for Dons. Like, again, you have to captivate the audience, and I think Dons is doing that. Like, you have to watch me, you have to love the song from just watching my performance. And I think that the minimalistic staging could work really well for a song like this. We saw it again with like Kremofor last year. Like, having that minimalistic staging does do wonders. So I think that doing something similar to that, maybe like having a dancer or two, or maybe some like playing with the lights or something, could like playing around with those light fixtures and really like trying to like create like almost like a little light show in the background, maybe some captivating visuals in the background. You know, I think what would be really cool for the song is to have like a stepping stone almost, or like something similar to Scream in 2019 with the replicated versions of like almost like the clones of oneself. And I think that would be a really cool thing to add into the staging. There's a lot of staging potential for Dons this year, and I think that this song definitely has the potential to be a televote and a jury favorite. So personally, I think because of the fact that Dons is in an easier semifinal, like it's not as difficult in terms of like competition, I'm going to say that Dons and Latvia will finish approximately like 7th to 9th in the semifinal, only because it is a televote-only semifinal, and then rise up to approximately like top 15, maybe. I'm seeing like something similar to like Alika Bridges. Of course, it's not the same, but I'm maybe even seeing somewhere like Lithuania last year, like, but a little bit lower televote score. So again, a little bit like iffy about who's going to qualify. In that semifinal, it's like a lot of songs that similar quality almost, so it's kind of like going to be a race to who can make their stage the best. So I definitely think that Dons has the potential to qualify, and then once he does qualify to the final, it'll just be amazing for the jury. They will probably eat this up, and honestly, it's a beautiful song, and I definitely understand why. So yeah, that was my overall take on Latvia this year. Congratulations to Dons with Hollow. And now it is time to move on to our third song, which is from Finland with the artist Windows 95 Man and the song No Rules. So that was a little sample from Finland's selection for 2024. They have selected the artist, or the artists, Windows 95 Man with the song No Rules. And oh my god, Finland, what have you done? I really feel like Finland's leaning into that Karja. Oh, we want to send someone who's as similar to Karja every single year. But the problem, and I'm going to be brutally honest with this, is Gadi is a one-in-a-generation Eurovision talent, and I don't think that you're going to be able to replicate Gadi's success with anyone, really. What Gadi had is something special for Eurovision, and I don't think as much as Finland is going to try, they're going to find someone with the exact skill set as Gadi, and I don't think they found it with Windows 95 Man. Now, is the song bad? No. But is the song on any level similar to Gadi? Absolutely not. And I think to make the comparison, and I think the Finns when they've been voting for this, I don't think that this is like a justified choice, to be honest. Again, this is just right after watching UMK, so my opinion could obviously change towards the end, but I think that the song definitely wasn't like anyone's, like it was a few people's favorite to win, but even looking at polls, they were in fifth place to win. Out of a poll of over 20,000 people, only approximately 2,000 people voted for Windows 95 Man. Honestly, like the results were really messed up for UMK this year, because last year, obviously, Karia swept the entire thing. There was no competition. But Karia also did really well with the juries, and I believe finished in first with the juries, actually. Yeah, Karia won the juries last year as well. Yeah, it was Karia, then Alexandra, then Kuma, then Kira, then Benjamin, then Portion Boys, then Roman Bakkalen. But yeah, Karia won the juries and then also won the televote, so it was 100% justified that he would win both, because he won both the juries and the televote as well. So it was perfectly understandable that he ended up winning by such a large result, because he's also both jury and televote favorite. Perfectly understandable. And I think that, honestly, this song had, like blown everyone away by the time it even started voting. So I think that it was a different level of comparison. The problem is, when we were watching the jury voting today, Windows 95 Man came in last. So, it was interesting. It was interesting because only getting 28 points, and it was definitely an interesting sight to see that, like, only like 28 points yet winning the entire thing. Didn't make sense. And I think usually when we're looking at UMK winners, maybe like fourth place should be the cutoff. In the juries, in order to win, but getting last place in the juries and winning the public vote and then automatically winning that overall, it kind of puts into question UMK's voting system, because why is UMK trying to actively shove it in Eurovision's face that, oh, why does Eurovision have so much jury power, but then actively at the same time putting so much power in the hands of the public that they're not trusted to make a good enough decision for the country? And I understand it's what Finland wants, but it's also just a reflection of how much they want another Karia result. And realistically, that was not going to be given with Windows 95 Man. I think the song is goofy. I think the song is fun. I think it can definitely appeal to people. But it's never going to come close to the to that amount of hype that Cha-Cha-Cha had. Because it had everyone up on their feet screaming like Cha-Cha-Cha. And everyone was like having a great party, and he was literally following the motto, it's crazy, it's party, and everyone's having the best time. And honestly, that is hard to replicate even for the most talented of Eurovision artists. So I think it's perfectly understandable that no one from this year was going to live up to that. But the fact that they trusted Windows 95 Man so much, probably only because A, place in last, which was definitely great to help anyone with the televote, and B, kind of match that Karia energy, and I think the two groups are definitely friends with each other. I think that's what pushed people to just vote for this. But the problem is, I don't think this song matches the level of quality. Karia, for example, got fourth place in the juries, which is a commendable result, especially exceeding many people's expectations for how much a song that's not traditionally considered a ballad or a mainstream song could do with the juries. Completely subverted those expectations. I don't think the song No Rules is going to do well with the juries, potentially bottom three if it qualifies to the final. And I think that the amount of televote appeal is going to be heavily diluted, because you have many songs this year that could challenge Finland for a similar result. And I know I've been talking about the results so much, but this is kind of a little bit frustrating, because there are several songs this year that could challenge Finland for that result. So there's Croatia, who could send Rim Tim Tagitim from Baby Lasagna, definitely on the same wavelength. They could send like someone from, they could send, for example, Estonia, they could send 5 Minutes, and I'm sorry, I forget the full band name, but again, same wavelength as No Rules. And I think because of the amount of songs that are trying to replicate the Gaudi effect this year, it's definitely going to put a damper on how many points these songs are going to get. The reason why I think Gaudia did so well is because Gaudia is unique. There was no one like him in last year's contest. But now you're having a bunch of artists that are kind of trying to replicate the success of Gaudia almost. And I think it's almost going to be a disadvantage this year, because there's now so many songs that are trying to replicate that success that it's going to create a big battle between the televote. And I think that because of that, there's going to be a song that isn't the on that Gaudia wavelength gonna win, because now all these songs like Croatia, Estonia, Finland are going to be battling it out for those televote points. A song that isn't like that is probably going to soar above. So I think that's what the problem is going to be. I think there's going to be so much dispute amongst these televote, like basically televote only songs, and then it's just going to cause a massive problem with the distribution of televote points, and may even cause other countries to get much higher votes as a result. But yeah, that was a lot of time talking specifically about the results of UMK. Now let's actually get into the song a little bit. But before I do that, I just wanted to say that I think that Zara Sipola and Baskana was one of the most beautiful Finnish ballads and power songs I've heard. Honestly, my original favorite was Cyan Kicks, Dancing with Demons, but I cannot tell you how much I think Paskana had amazing potential for Eurovision. I'm so sad to see that it won't get that chance to represent Eurovision this Finland in Eurovision this year. Sara Sipola deserved that 100%. Won the jury and came second in the televote. Yeah, just wasn't enough, unfortunately. Lost by 40 points. And yeah, even songs like Cyan Kicks finished fourth. Sini Sabotage, who was one of my favorites, Kurimoa, another one of my favorites, absolutely loved that song, finished in seventh. I guess, again, killed by the running order. But the fact that, like, Windows 95 Man, who lost in the juries to Sini Sabotage, who finished last place, yet won overall, is quite an uncertainty almost. Like the fact that you're having someone who's finishing last place winning, that doesn't look right on paper. And I think that this needs to be called into question for UMK next year. I think UMK needs to return to some normal system. Maybe try and go after Norway. You know, I think that's a good idea for you, Finland. Maybe next year try Norway's method 60-40. That way you still have that televote advantage, but it's not so much so that the results are going to be that ridiculous. Because even with the 60-40 system, Gaudia would have easily still won. So it's not saying, like, honestly, like, it's not saying that, like, that would prevent entries like Gaudia from winning. It's just making it a little bit even more of a playing field. And I think that's what all Eurovision fans are looking for, whether it's televote or jury. I think we're just looking for an equal playing field for artists on both sides. Okay, now this song is very interesting. So it's all in English. Honestly, I don't really prefer these lyrics. It's, again, a very jokey entry. I know they've really stressed the fact that they're taking everything really seriously, and I can understand that. I do believe the vocals were really good, but, again, it's like more of a jokey entry as well. So the band is made up of two artists, Henri Pisparen, and who's the main vocalist. And then, of course, here Timo Kaisteri, who is Windows 95 Man, and who is, like, kind of, like, the public image of Windows 95 Man in, like, all of the press and everything. Although it is Henri Pisparen who's actually providing those vocals himself. I honestly, like, the lyrics are kind of just, like, they're really basic. Like, for example, like, No Rules, It's How I Live, How I Find the Wind Beneath My Wings, It's How I Learn to Fly. Like, honestly, these are just kind of, like, elementary-style lyrics. It would have been really cool if they did the song in Finnish. Like, and I think that's another thing that made it really special for Gaudia, because Gaudia's song was in Finnish, and that kind of brought that back to Eurovision after so long, because the last time that, like, there was, like, such a long time. I don't know. I think the last time that Finland sent a song in Finnish was all the way back in Aita Mun Pita in 2015. That, like, short 45-second song was the last time Finland ever sent something in Finnish. So I think the fact that they're able to send a song fully in Finnish that was globally relatable, because Karia's song was, like, globally trending, I think that showed that you were able to take that next step and kind of bring that X factor. And that was Karia's X factor. He was, like, a very charismatic, full of energy, super appealing to everyone. Everyone loved doing the cha-cha-cha dance. Like, it was, like, a lot of fun. It was a great party. How much is this realistically going to appeal to people on the same level? Like, it's an English song. It's pretty basic lyrics. It's not going to have the same dance appeal. People are not going to remember it as much. It's going to qualify, but I really don't want it to. Like, these are one of the songs that I'm really coming down hard on this year. It's just because UMK had the possibility of sending so many great songs, and I just don't feel like they've made a reasonable choice here. Like, I think, again, it's just all in the hands of the public, and look what the public ended up doing. Yeah, so honestly, I'm really frustrated again with Finland's result. In terms of its qualification, I do think it's going to qualify because, again, it is a televote-only semifinal. But, again, it is in the more difficult semifinal. So we may see it even fall into that, like, top seven almost. So it's not a guaranteed top three. I think guaranteed top three would be a song like Teresa Maria. But I don't think this is by any means a guaranteed top three in the semifinal. I think it's going to come bottom three, maybe even last place in juries. So yeah, Germany, you don't have to worry about that this year. I think Finland's covered that for you. Honestly, I think that this song does not have any jury potential. Again, as shown in UMK, it finished last place, so I don't think this is going to get any jury support. And if juries are somewhat brought back into that, into the semifinals suddenly, I don't think this is going to qualify. So, I think the sole fact that it's going to make it to the final is simply because of that this is going to be 100% televoting final. And if it wasn't, then I don't think the song would be qualifying. I do try to make it as positive as an environment, like, to introduce all the songs. And while I do think the song is really fun, really upbeat, and really catchy, I don't think it comes close to the level of, like, strength that Finland had in their national final. And overall, the national final was so much stronger in 2023. I liked every single one of the songs. There was absolutely no qualm I had with anything. But this year, it's different. And this year, I don't really have much to talk about even the fact that, like, there's uncredited vocals by Henri Pispanen, like, it's not credited. Even the fact that, like, he provides most of the, like, I don't know if it's most of the videos. I mean, most of the vocals. But yeah, honestly, I don't get the act this year. Maybe it's just me. Maybe there's a lot of people who are going to disagree with me on this. Perfectly understandable. But yeah, that's just my thoughts on Finland this year. It's probably a hot take, but let me know if you agree with the comments. And now it is time to move on to the last song of today, which is from Italy with the song La Noia from the artist Angelina Mango. So that was a sample from Italy this year, who have sent the artist, or at least I'm hoping, sending the artist Angelina Mango with the song La Noia. And again, just recording this literally a few hours right after Sanremo, I watched the entire thing. and very long. But I do always love San Remo, just like Festival Kengis. Not just a festival for Eurovision, but also a festival for promoting the greatness of Italian music. Existed way longer since Eurovision even began. Featured amazing talents, and honestly, just a celebration of music that is the Italian music scene. And again, this year's had some amazing artists. Honestly, I think that this year Sanremo was one of the best. I know people are going to disagree with me on that, but I think there's a lot of songs this year that has really great potential. Just like every year for Italy. Italy is just a really good country at Eurovision, and I understand a lot of people wouldn't agree with me on that statement, but I think that the song has a lot of really great, a lot of these songs had really great potential, and I think, in terms of, like, the odds looking into it, like, because, again, it was a 30-person, 30-act final, it was a very tight odds because, again, 30 acts, how much of the odds are you really going to claim? But, again, Angelina Mango actually took up a lot of those odds specifically. So I guess the way it works for Sanremo this year, or at least for most years, is that... there's like parts from different nights that kind of make up the overall score. So there was like night one, night two, night three, night four. In the case of Angelina Mango, she only participated in nights two, three, actually no, sorry, and nights one, three, and four, and then of course the final. So yeah, in night one of Sanremo, so the overall results were, so of course we don't know the final results as of yet, they might be revealed a little bit later, but for the first night, the overall top five was Mahmood with the song Tutta Gold, then in fourth place was Diodato with the song Ti Muovi. In third place was the song Analisa Sinceramente, which I know was also a massive favorite and also one of my favorites as well. Then we had in second was Angelina Mango, La Noia. And then a surprising first place was Loredana Bertè with Bazza. And that's also one of my favorite songs. I actually really liked Bazza. And Loredana Bertè is a great artist as well. That was the winner of the first night. The second night, of course, Angelina Mango did not participate in this night, as she was allocated to the second or the third night, because half the songs and half the songs were split. So on the second night, which was the results of the radio jury and the public vote, in fifth place was Mahmood and Tutta Gold. Then we had Loredana Bertè and Bazza in fourth place, Analisa Sinceramente in third place. In second place, we had Iramma with the song Tunno. And then in first place was Giulie with the song Ipme Tumpite, which I don't know if I was pronouncing correctly. It's a little bit strange pronunciation. We'll get into Giulia a little bit later. And then, of course, after night three, which was all of the songs being presented, we had night four, which was pretty interestingly it was a pretty interesting consideration because they actually took into account all of like these performances as well. So like, for example, if you did really poorly in your cover night, that could affect your overall score. So going into Sanremo in the final, we actually had a list of the total ranking. So the way it works for Sanremo is you have five songs. So basically you have your 30 songs. They all compete in the grand final again. The top five songs will be moving on to what is known as the super final. So according to the end of the cover night, these were the five songs that made it as the top five into the final. They were Iramma by the song Riccardo or Again, this was not the correct song. So it was just Iramma finishing in fifth place. And then in fourth place was Gali so finishing in fourth place. In third place was Annalisa. Second place was Angelina Mango, and first place was Jolie. Again, Jolie, Angelina Mango, Annalisa, and Gali were all ranked in their top four respectively, and also in the fourth night and the total. However, fifth place went to Alpha, but Alpha only finished 10th place overall in the total rankings. Other favorites like Mahmoud finished in 6th in the total ranking. Laura Danabarte finished 8th. Il Volo finished 11th. Mr. Rain finished 18th, and then Diodato finished in 9th. A lot of those favorites finished in the top 15, and then at the bottom were songs that generally didn't do well in the first few nights as well. So after the grand final night, you had the televote that came in and kind of basically selected the top five songs that would go to the super final. And it was great to see that Italy finally selected a woman to represent Italy after 8 years. I believe the last time was like 2016. There was Francesco Gabani, there was Irma Mate, there was Mahmoud, there was Diodato, then there's Måneskin, then there was Mahmoud and Blanco again, then there was Marco Mignoni, and now we have Angelina Mango. So we do know that Mahmoud ended up finishing 6th place, so it was right at the end of the cutoff for the top 5 ranking. We know that Laura Danabarte finished 7th, Il Volo finished 8th, then Alessandra Amoroso finished 9th, Alfa finished 10th, and then some other favorites, Diodato finished 13th, Mr. Rain finished 17th, and then Il Volo finished in 8th. So that was kind of like some of the favorites. Again, anyone from 6th to 30th unfortunately did not qualify for the super final, because the super final was strictly the top 5 songs. So again, there hasn't been much information published on the actual top 5 and what that kind of looked like. I believe it was 33% split, but at the end we did know that Angelina Mango was the winner. Now the thing with Sanremo is it's not confirmed whether or not the artist will be going to Eurovision or not. So who knows? After writing this episode, this may not be the actual artist that's representing Italy. We may see Annalisa representing Italy. We may see Jolie representing. I believe Jolie finished 2nd. So Jolie might be representing Italy. And then Annalisa. But we do have to wait for the next day. So the day after I'm recording, there will be a press conference to let us know whether or not Angelina will be accepting the offer to go to Eurovision because she won Sanremo. Because sometimes artists do turn it down, depending. So let's get into La Noia specifically, because I know I have been talking the results of Sanremo, but again, Sanremo is one of like the most amazing festivals of Eurovision, one of my favorite alongside like maybe Melody Grand Prix. So honestly, like I absolutely love watching Sanremo just for fun sometimes, not even just thinking about Eurovision. So now let's talk about La Noia. So I think La Noia is like a really great song. It's definitely really catchy, like that like beat drop. It's like definitely like something that's gonna keep the music up. I think it's like a little, it's very different from the songs that Italy would usually send over the past few years. Like Italy's known to send very depressing Italian ballads. I think that's like what we would classify Italy as for the past few years. Like, I mean, they sent, with the exception of Måneskin with Zitti Buoni, they sent in 2023 Marco Mignoni with Due Vite. In 2022, they sent Mahmoud and Blanco with Brividi. Then in 2020, they sent Diodate with Fare Rumore. So yeah, they're definitely known for sending very sad Italian ballads. So that's kind of their specialty. So it's a little bit interesting that they kind of sent someone with like a little bit more pop and a little bit more like modern appeal to the song. Kind of being a little bit risky, almost like I think what's funny for Sanremo is what's considered risky is like La Noia. What's considered risky for like another final would be something like in Ireland, like sending like Bambi Thug. Like that would be considered risky because usually Ireland would usually send like something safe, like a boy band or something. But sending like someone like Bambi Thug, they had like a more like a very alternative style to their performance. So sending them would be like considered like a risk almost for Ireland, but like with a good reward, getting a better placement. But that's like considered risky in Italy. Yeah, this would be considered kind of like a risk almost. Yeah, honestly, like the song is really, really, really catchy. Like I find myself dancing to the chorus a lot. It's definitely something that keeps you on your feet, keeps you dancing. It's like a really great song for a party almost. Yeah, honestly, the lyrics are really well, like they're not like the most like deep or nuanced lyrics, but they're like, it's like a fun meaning. It's like the song called The Boredom, and it's just kind of like trying to have fun, trying to be like trying to have some fun, trying to be like break out of this like system of boredom, trying to like have like just make some good memories. And I think that's like just always a good meaning to have. I think just like trying to like break free from just boredom and trying to make some like fun memories is always something that's going to be great for Eurovision. And honestly, I think Sanremo's, their staging is very minimalistic because again, it's not built for Eurovision. So the expectation is not to have Eurovision style staging. Another thing about Sanremo is the songs are, the actual requirement is 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And the songs have a live orchestra. So there are obviously a lot of things that need to be changed from Sanremo bringing it to Eurovision. The first thing, obviously, cannot have a live orchestra. So something's got to change about that. Probably going to be used something else. Or I actually don't remember if you can have a live orchestra. I remember in the olden days when they actually used to have a live orchestra. But I don't know if that's still the case. Probably not. Again, the song does need to be trimmed down from that 3 minutes and 30 second limit maximum to now a 3 minute maximum for Eurovision. And of course, I think the staging will need to be 100% elevated. But I think that's not going to be a problem. Italy knows how to definitely invest in good staging. But again, I think they've dealt with such like sad Italian songs over the past few years. They need to kind of invest in like a more upbeat and pop staging, kind of like almost like it's kind of like reminding me of like Blah 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 by Shannon Directa in Italy 2022 for Junior Eurovision, almost like something like that. It's kind of like picturing that for mine, for me, something like kind of bright, something pop, something like that's gonna kind of get your attention. Again, Italy does not have to worry about qualifying. It is a member of the Big Five or Big Six this year, so I think this song is definitely gonna do somewhat well with the juries. Again, not gonna be on the level of Marco Mignoni was something else in terms of vocally, like absolutely astounding. Angelina Mango is definitely amazing vocals, but definitely not on the same level as Marco Mignoni, which is fine. Two definitely different artists, two different genres, two different everything. So I think perfectly understandable. So I don't think it's going to be on the same jury level. I'm going to predict top 10 juries maybe. And then I would say top 7 televote. So I think overall the song is going to finish for sure in the top 10, continuing Italy's streak of making it in the top 10. And I think that Italy is going to have another successful result this year. And I'm so glad that they've had the opportunity to select someone as great as Angelina Mango with the song La Noia. So yeah, I think the song is definitely going to be really popular, and I think it's going to definitely help continue Italy's amazing streak at Eurovision so far. And with that being said, that does bring us to the end of all 4 songs today. I think all 4 songs were pretty interesting, different extremes of different songs. We had really a really cultural, powerful rap, pop, I mean, not pop, but like cultural, powerful rap and like almost like a ballad song. Then we went to like a powerful, strong, like ballad song coming out of Latvia. Then we had this interestingly selected party song. all the way to like a fun pop song from Italy. So we had four different kind of extremes of music today. In my personal ranking, I would have to say my overall ranking for today would be Ukraine, Italy, Latvia, and then Finland. But I feel like for me personally, the three from today are probably going to be in my current top five, and the last place is kind of going to be in my bottom three. But because there was kind of like a really big extreme between the three songs I talked about and one song I talked about. But honestly, I think all four of these songs have massive potential to do amazing at Eurovision. And I think despite of what I say, I think there is definitely going to be appeal for all of these songs. And I think they can all do something to contribute to what Eurovision was going to be this year in 2024. So with that being said, that does bring us to the end of today's episode. I truly hope you enjoyed listening, and if you're interested in checking out more Eurovision content, head on over to @thedoucepoint on Instagram. @thedoucepoint on Instagram for amazing Eurovision content and to learn more about the entirety of the contest throughout the year. So thank you for listening to today's episode of Is It a Hot Take, and I can't wait to see you again in the next one.